This is the time of the year everyone tends to make resolutions. 80% of resolutions that are made have fallen apart by February. The majority of our resolutions fall apart by February 1st. What happens is we sense this need in our lives for a change. If New Year comes and we kind of anticipate that something new needs to happen. And so what we do is we create these resolutions designed to change our behavior. The challenge is, and this is a fill-in, you don't have to write it in because it's already filled in for you, but most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. In other words, we have these great aspirations, these great hopes, but we do not have the habits that are going to take us in the direction of our hopes. We don't have the steps, the disciplines that are necessary that take us in the same direction. So as we try to change behavior, God wants to change us from the inside out. That's what the scripture we've been looking at out of the Message in Romans 12 says, as we fix our focus on God, basically, he comes in and changes us. And it goes down and it says, God brings out the best in you and develops well-formed maturity in you. That is just, it's mind-boggling that God takes the attention and puts it on you, and he has this plan for your life, and he wants to form well-formed maturity. While the world tears us down, God is building us up. So one of the things that we've been looking at is our need for biblical habits. And what happens is we form these habits, and then our habits form us. We form habits around us in our lives, and then these habits end up shaping us to be something that we are currently not. And God works in those habits to shape us. What we all need are these uphill habits. And these uphill habits are basically biblical habits that shape us into godly people. Now, you might not feel like you're a godly person. I get that. Because we kind of look at godliness as something that is perfect. The problem is that none of us are perfect, and yet God calls us all to godliness. And what brings godliness into our lives are the disciplines that we bring into our lives that keep us on track, that keep us going in a direction that we would not normally go if just left to ourselves. I wish I had come up with this statement, but I've said this in the series, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. And that's basically how we need to understand that. These habits are really important in our life. Whether it's spiritual habits or even financial or physical habits, relational habits, successful people do consistently what other people do just sporadically or occasionally. Downhill habits tend to be the easy way to live our lives. And yet God's calling us to this uphill life. He's challenging you to an uphill life. And yes, is it challenging? Yes. Is it difficult? It might be. Is it doable? Absolutely doable. Because this is not about self-help, this is about God's help. It's not about what you can do with willpower, this is about what we can do through God's power in us. So, first habit we've looked at was we've got to draw close to God. And all of us are as close to God as we want to be. The habits that you've established in your life have determined how close you want to be to God. Another habit we need to really focus on is we need to put God first. And we said this, that priorities are more than a list in our head. They are what we do first. It's how you spend the first of your day, the first of your week, the first of your month, the first of your year. How do you spend? What do you do with the first? Do you give God your first and your best? Another habit, last week, I thought it was really good. Control your thoughts. And that is, a lot of times we allow these thought patterns in our lives. But downhill thoughts are not a part of an uphill life. They don't take us in the same direction. So we have to really watch that. Today, this is a habit that I don't know if you've even ever thought of as a habit. This is a challenging habit as well. But habit number four is aligning our life with God's purpose. Have you ever considered that aligning your life on a daily basis with God's purpose is a habit that actually protects you and builds godliness into your life? I don't think it's something that most people focus on. If you've ever visited a chiropractor, first of all, you understand pain, and I am empathetic with you, but you also understand the importance of alignment, and that pain comes through misalignment. If you've ever visited a chiropractor, they will work on you, and one of the things that you can learn about alignment is this: the consequences of misalignment is pain. That's one of these lessons that you need to learn. When misalignment is a part of your life, pain is also going to be a part of your life. The way that it is. Another one is referred pain is real. You can have pain in one place, like your shoulder, but the problem is actually in another place. If you've ever visited a chiropractor, that's one of the things that they will do. You can go in and you can complain about a pain here, but they'll poke you here. Because referred pain is very real. Where you feel the pain may not be the source of your pain. That's a problem with a lot of our lives. We have, pain shows up in our life, but the pain that we experience in our life is not the source of the problem. It's just a byproduct of the problem that we've allowed in our life. But we have this pain, and so what we tend to do is we tend to focus on the pain, thinking that that's going to correct the problem. And really, a lot of times, it's referred pain. In other words, you can have pain in your marriage, and it has nothing to do with your marriage. You can have pain in your finances, and it has nothing to do with your finances. That's not the problem. That's just where you're experiencing the pain. So the question, is your life aligned with God's purpose? Are you experiencing a spiritual alignment with God? Because if you don't have spiritual alignment, pain is also going to be a part of your spiritual journey. So creating this habit of alignment is so important. It affects every area of our life. And the habit of alignment is this, living in sync with God's purpose. Are you living in sync? I'm trying to break this down for it to be as palatable and simple as I can. To understand what this alignment actually looks like, it's living in sync with God's purpose. Is your life and God's purpose aligned together? If not, you're going to encounter some form of pain. If you're functioning in your life over here, and you're doing your thing over here, and God is doing something over here, your life is not going to be aligned. If you are focusing on something and God is doing something else, there's going to be a misalignment, and pain is going to be the byproduct of that. I think many people miss God's purpose for their life because they think it's just tied to church. Most people miss God's purpose for their life because they think God's purpose pertains just to church. All I have to do is go to church. Maybe I need to give some, and I can, and I need to maybe volunteer some. And we say that that is our purpose while we spend the majority of our life outside of church. See, this has God's purpose has some to do, yes, with church. It includes it. It has more to do with our life, which is what I want to look at. God's purpose for your life and for my life is first about who you are and second about what you do. That's something that you got to understand because a lot of times what we do is we just tend to make it about what we do. God's purpose for your life is first and foremost about who you are as a person and who He wants you to be. And secondly, it's about what you do. So the job you have right now that you have employment at, it's just a job until your heart is aligned with God's heart, and then it changes that job. When your heart is surrendered and aligned to God, it changes how you do your job and it changes why you do your job. So here's what God's purpose reflects, okay? God's purpose is first about a transforming relationship with God. God's purpose for your life is about a transforming, not just, God, He created you for a relationship with Himself, but not just for a friendship. And I think a lot of times we think that God created us for just a friendship. He didn't create you for just a friendship. He created you for a life transforming relationship with Him, which is much more than friendship. Friendship, you come in, you kind of go, hey, God, how's it going? How's it going? You doing good? Everything's good? God says to you, hey, you're doing good? Good. All right, I'll leave you alone. God says, I've got way more, I've got big things in store for you. And so God wants a life-transforming relationship where God is forming and shaping in us the image of His Son. That's what, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him, and all along He knew who would, should become like His Son. That is the goal of what God is doing in this life-transforming relationship that God has for you. Another part of our purpose, or God's purpose for our lives, is a love for others that reflects God. This is essential. Essential. Please do not miss this. Please. Part of your purpose is the love that you have for others, does it reflect God? Because God wants our lives to be defined by love. Not success, not accomplishment. And our love for people should reflect God's love for people. It's when we love people that we do our job differently. It's when we love people that we treat our neighbors differently and we treat people differently. And so all of a sudden our actions or the expression of our life has a new dimension because we look at people differently. We don't look at people with judgment or anger or things like that. We look at people the way God looks at people. I think that's where we miss it a lot of times. We look at people and we think that God is angry at them, and I don't think God is. The only people that God was ever or that Jesus was ever angry at were religious people. Another part of God's purpose is also about a will that's surrendered to God. God wants our desires to be about his agenda. And most of us go through life just kind of compartmentalizing our lives. You know, we have our job, we have our marriage, we have our family, we have our friends, we have our recreational life, we have our church. And God never wants to be a piece of the pie in your life. He wants to be the filling of the pie of your life. So no matter how your life gets sliced and cut, no matter what it is that you do in your life and you slice and cut, that God is a part of all of it. Is what God is willing to do, is what God wants to do, is that what I am willing to do? See, I need to get that in sync. And sometimes we kind of look at it and go, okay, God has this thing, but he understands, you know, he knows that it's kind of difficult for me. No, that's misalignment, because God says, surrender yourself, surrender your will, and you can be a part of what I'm doing. But a lot of times we're just fighting God. So is what God wants to do and what God is doing, does that reflect who I am and what I want to see and what I'm willing to do? Loving God, loving people, surrendering to him daily. That's part of God's plan for our lives. So why is alignment so critically important? First of all, because the reason it's so important is because money won't satisfy us. Money's a popular subject and a big reason why people do what they do and a big reason why people do what they do. But detached from God's purpose, our job is just about money. And our jobs never will provide enough money to give us purpose. I like how Proverbs 23 says, it says, don't worry yourself trying to get rich. Why waste your time? For riches can disappear as though they had wings of a bird. We all know that. And yet we work so diligently for money, thinking that it's going to satisfy us. God has given you a job. God's given you something to do that has nothing to do with money. Another reason alignment is so important is because time is against us. If you read the Bible, you understand that the Jesus' return is getting closer and closer and closer. And you read scriptures like, hey, when you see this thing happening, you better start getting life in order because things are winding down. You can look at the scripture and you can see that it is more and more winding down. We've got to know that we live according to God's time clock, not ours. And God knows when this is going to wind down. Time is against us. We don't have all the time in the world to just be wasting our lives. And it's not just about Jesus coming. Each one of us have a limited time on this earth. We can't afford to be careless. You don't know when God's going to punch your ticket, when your life's done. You can't afford to be living careless lives, casual lives, oblivious to opportunities that we're missing, apathetic to the people around us. Man, you know what? We pass people all the time and we tend to be apathetic, like, you know what? God will bring somebody. No, God brought you into their life. James says it this way. Now listen, you who say today or that city, we're going to go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why do you think that even now that this will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that, because our life is about God. Is this God's will for my life? Time's against us. We don't live forever, and yet we don't know when our time's up either. Be in touch with why you're on this planet. John Maxwell wrote a book titled Today Matters, and what he encourages his readers to do is to live every day as if it mattered for all of eternity. Just think if you lived that way. If you lived every day as if it mattered for all of eternity, that helps us to align our lives with God's purpose. In fact, one of the things he says in the book is, I'll never change my life until I change something that I do every single day. See, things don't change until we change what we do every day. But a lot of us, we want our lives changed, but we don't want to change what we do every day. And if you keep doing what you're always doing, you're going to get what you always have got. You know that. We need to just be aware that time is running out. Another reason alignment is so important is because stuff will consume us. Detached from God's purpose, life, your life will become about the accumulation of stuff, toys, possessions, things. Jesus says, life is not defined by what you have, even if you have a lot. It's more than the stuff. But yet, if we're detached from God's purpose, the stuff becomes, you know it, you know the saying, the one with the most toy, what? One with the most toys wins. That's what people think. Life's way more valuable than that. The reason alignment is also important is because God's purpose fulfills us. You want things that are going to fulfill you, you're not going to find it. God's purpose is what fulfills you. God created you for purpose, and you exist for God Himself. If that's out of alignment, you're going to experience pain in your life. The very fact that you're breathing and taking up space, that you're sitting here in this room, is because God wanted you here. There's an assignment that God has created for you that you need to be in touch with. It's an issue that existed before you and requires you. I want you to get that. God created you for something, for an issue that existed before you and requires you. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For you are God's handiwork, created by Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do." God prepared something. So there was a need that was going on, and God said, "I need you to take care of this." Every one of us have a God-given purpose. And only when we align our lives with that purpose will life make sense. I want to read just a few scriptures for you before we get into worship, just really quick. First of all, Psalms 139 says this, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book, all of my days were recorded, even those which were purposed before they had come into being." Ephesians 1 says, "It's in Christ Jesus that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us and designs for us for glorious living. And part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone, in you, in me." Colossians, "For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him, in God, and finds its purpose in God." So here's a great question that we at some point have to come to an answer for your life, for my life. Are you living by design or by default? Are you living by God's design and God's purpose? Are you just existing? If you want to experience God's purpose, there's ways of making sure that you experience alignment. And that is, first of all, we've got to decide what's important. At some point, we've got to realize, what are the priorities in our life? Is God's purpose really important? Loving God, loving people, surrendering Him daily, is that what's really important in our lives? We can't afford to lose our priorities. It's a story about a man who went to the Super Bowl and he found a seat, and he was really excited. They were expensive seats. And he sat down and he started a conversation with the guy that was next to him, who happened to be a Southern redneck guy. The man says, "Why is it that you have an empty seat next to you?" The redneck said, "That seat is for my wife, but she's dead." The man said, man replied, "That's awesome that you kept that seat in your wife's memory." He said, "But these seats are worth $3,000 a piece. Surely you could have given one of these seats, or given the seat to like a family member or a relative, somebody else that could have enjoyed it." The redneck said, "No, I couldn't." The man said, "Why not?" He said, "Because they're all at the funeral." It's a joke, isn't it? The idea is the man had his priorities wrong. And that's what tends to happen with us, is our priorities are out of whack, and that's how we live our life. Here's what Paul says, "Whatever it was to my profit," and if I paraphrase it for you, he says, "Whatever I used to think was really important, what I figured out, the longer I lived and the closer I got to Jesus, was that all that I thought was really important was not really important. I realized my life is not wrapped around the right things." And he goes on, he says, "I consider everything a loss compared to this surpassing greatness." And what he was saying is, I kind of resisted doing the God thing, you know? And then I experienced the God thing, and what I experienced is this God thing is surpassingly greater than anything and everything I've ever pursued in my life. And I mention this because I think that a lot of us, I think the devil's really lied to us. He says you don't have to go all in. In fact, don't go all in. If you go all in, it's just going to suck the fun out of your life. Just do the minimum. Just do the little that you need to do to get by. Live it up, enjoy life. But you're never going to understand God's purpose from the sidelines. You're never going to experience God's purpose if you don't go all in. Going all in is where we experience God's purpose for our life. Some people say, you know what, there's a level of following Jesus, and they'll say this, I believe in Jesus, that's a good place to start. Some people say, I go to church when I can, that's a next step, that's a good thing. But it's not until you say, you know what, I'm all in, that you experience this God's purpose. And that's what I'm encouraging you, that we go all in to experience God's purpose in our life. Another way to experience alignment is this. We've got to give time to these important things. And of course, that's like a no-brainer. But you'd be surprised how many people say, this is really important, but they never schedule it in their life. Look it. If something is really important, if something really matters, then you've got to give it time. You've got to schedule it. You've got to do it. John Maxwell, in that same book I told you about earlier, he gives a rule of five things. It's a rule of five, basically. Every day, he says, you do five things. He says, you don't have to do them all day, just every day. And it just has to be for a short period of time. He says, what happens is if you do the same things every day for 5 days, or all throughout the week, it becomes like a whittling away effect at something that is great. And I would encourage you guys to look at that. What are really important things? Five really important things that you need to do in your life every single day so that you schedule it. You don't have to give it an hour. You don't have to give it 5 minutes. You can just give it a minute if you need to. But every day you work on these five things. You have to assess what that is. But what if we did that, like spend time in prayer? Or what if we studied God's word? What if we loved those that were closest to us? What if we chose to make a difference in someone's life? You know what? That doesn't require a listen to text. Hey, I was thinking about you and I'm praying for you today. I hope all is doing well. Just wanted you to know I love you. God loves you. He's with you today. That kind of stuff makes a difference in people's life. Maybe another one is take care of yourself. Another way to experience alignment is this. Eliminate non-essentials. We all have non-essentials in our lives. We all have things that don't align up with God's purpose. And those that we've got to decide, are we going to eliminate things that interfere with God's design and God's purpose? The last one is this. You got to take inventory often. Take inventory often. That's what we're doing today. Give yourself a checkup, basically. Am I in alignment with God's purpose? Are you? I can't answer that for you. Are you in alignment with God's purpose? Am I making time for what's important? Am I living by design or by default? Maybe a good way to do this is to check the pain in your life and to recognize it could be from misalignment. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. The very first thing that God designed us for, the very first purpose that God has for your life is to a life-transforming relationship with you, not a friendship. A life-transforming relationship. And if you don't have that today, man, do not leave this room without starting that. It doesn't happen by signing papers. It happens by talking to God, saying, God, I want to live my life a way that is about you. I want you to change my life. I want to be in a life-transforming relationship with you. God hears you. He's listening. That's what he wants for your life, for my life. Could it be that some of the things that are nagging you, causing problems, causing pain, are really from a life that's out of alignment? Things you're not putting God first in. Maybe you're not loving people like you should. You're not in relationship. Maybe your will is not surrendered, so you just refuse to do what God's asking you to do. Maybe your life is still about you and not about him. Love God, love people, live surrendered. Father, we come to you today, just people that need to live in your purpose. We need to be realigned with your purpose for our lives. And you know each one of us and you know where we're at. And Father, for those that are here today that don't have relationship with you and you so desperate, you created them for this relationship. May that happen today. Father, may you, as you bring out the best in us, as you develop well-formed maturity in us, may that well-formed maturity reflect your purpose. And Father, may we live in this life-transforming relationship. May we live where our love for other people reflects your love for people. May we live with a will that's surrendered to you, and so our life is not about us, it's about you. Father, I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you that no one is here by accident. But Father, I also know that every single one of us today must make a decision about aligning ourselves with you if we're ever going to live this fulfilled life that you called us to live. So, Father, may that take place today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.